The following program is brought to you by friends and partners of End Time Headlines.
And at this time, we want to welcome our podcast audience and our YouTube audience as well. Today, I'm going to be talking about a subject that that's really been stirred up in my spirit over the past couple of days. And I wanted to finish this week out with a word of exhortation and encouragement. But there is also an urgency in this message. I don't want to make you think any way, shape, or form that this is not something that we should take lightly. There is an urgency to this. So I want to deal with the particular subject today on, I want to talk about the urgency of keeping our minds girded and our lamps burning. So we're going to cover some scripture today. So let's go right into this. Luke chapter 12, verses 35 through 40. Luke chapter 12, verses 35 through 40. Listen, this is what the Lord Jesus Christ said. He said, "Let your waist be girded and your lamps burning, and you yourselves be like men who wait for their master when he will return from the wedding, that when he comes and knocks, that they may open to him immediately. Blessed are those servants whom the master, when he does come, will find watching. Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself." So already twice he's used the word gird and girded. Again, "Assuredly, I say to you that he will gird himself and have them sit down to eat and will come and serve them. And if he should come in the second watch or come in the third watch and find them so," find them doing what? Watch this. "He finds them girded and their lamps burning." And you say, what in the world does it mean to be girded? We're going to talk about that in a second. "Blessed are those servants who he finds doing so when he returns. But know this, that if the master of the house had known what hour the thief would have come, he would have watched, and he would have not allowed his house to be broken into. Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect." Now, I want to preface this by saying something right off the bat. Obviously, this parable is dealing with a physical house or a home and people watching over this home and watching that it be not broken into. But today, I don't want to deal with our physical homes or our place of residence, but I want to deal with this house. If you're watching my podcast, I'm tapping on my chest. The Bible talks about, do you know not your bodies are the temple of the Holy Spirit, or we house the Holy Spirit in us. So I want to talk about today the importance of not allowing this house to be broken into, especially our minds. Somebody say our minds. And let me read on here. "Therefore, you also be ready, for the Son of Man is coming in an hour you do not expect." Again, that's Luke 12, 35 through 40. In this passage, the Lord is emphasizing to the church to be ready for his return, for they will not know, listen, the day nor the hour, but they will be discerning of the signs and the seasons of his return and be prepared accordingly. Those that are his, those that are discerning, those that are the remnant, those that their lamps are burning, those that have been girded about and ready, they will be prepared at the coming of the Son of Man. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verses 4 through 5, it says, "But you, brethren, are not in darkness, so that this day should overtake you as a thief, but you are sons of light and sons of the day, and we are not of the night nor of darkness." The Lord emphasizes two major things that we need to do as believers to be fully prepared for his return. That's primary. And not be caught off guard. But secondary is, I want to talk, this is alluding to the return of the Lord, which is a future event, but I want to talk about right now. I believe right now, as we speak, I am seeing believers all around me. I'm reading about it online. I'm talking to them on the telephone. I'm dealing with them in text messages. I'm dealing with them in emails. I'm seeing it happen in churches, in the body of Christ. The body of Christ, the body of Christ is being assaulted relentlessly with fiery darts that are coming against our minds, hitting our minds. That's really what I want to home in on today. We're going to shift back and forth, because I believe as we get closer to the end of the age and the coming of the Son of Man, that these attacks against the mind and the thought process of the believer are going to become more relentless of the enemy, because his time is short. According to Revelation, it says that he knows that his time is short. Therefore, he's pouring out his wrath upon the saints. Now, listen to this. In Luke 21, 34-46, Jesus again warns, and this is in context of the coming of the Son of Man. He says, take heed to yourselves, lest your hearts be weighed down with carousing, drunkenness, and the cares of this life, and that day, he's talking about the coming of the Lord, come upon you unexpectedly, for it will come as a snare upon those who dwell on the face of the whole earth. Watch therefore and pray always that you may be counted worthy to escape all these things that will come to pass and stand before the Son of Man. Now, there's always this huge argument and debate in the body of Christ of the coming or the timing of the Lord, whether it's the Lord will return before the Great Tribulation. Will he return in the middle of the Great Tribulation, or will he return after the Great Tribulation? And you get all these arguments and debates, and the pre-tribbers will have their scriptures and they will argue against this. And then the mid-tribbers will have their argument, and then the post-tribbers will have their argument. And then you've got one group that's against another group, and this group against that group. And you got one group that accuses one group of not being prepared and leading people astray and not watching for his return. And then you have another group that emphasizes being ready for, you know, not the day nor the hour, and be ready for any hour that he would return. So there's this huge rift and debate that's been going on from the beginning of the ages. But here's the deal, guys. Is the Son of Man returning? Yes. So again, I'm not here to debate whether it's pre-trib, mid-trib, or post-trib. What I want to come to you today and tell you is that if you listen, we are seeing so many, you know, I mean, Christians that I saw on fire last year, 2 years ago, 5 years ago, and they're nowhere to be found. I can't find them at church anymore. I can't find them. They've shut down their online study groups. I find out that they're not even serving the Lord anymore. Many of these have fallen away. There was an article that came out today, and there was a new poll taken, a new survey, and they discovered that many believers that could no longer go to church because of COVID and because of the lockdowns, now that things are opening back up, they can't find most of these to even come back to church. They're not coming back to church anymore. Now, I'm not here to try to analyze and debate why they're not coming back. Some would argue and say they're not coming back because of fear. Some would argue and say they're not coming back because they found other churches. And some would say they're not coming back because they are tired of the church in which they're going to, or maybe the church is not meeting their needs, or maybe the church is preaching a watered down, feel good gospel, and therefore they kind of remove themselves from the equation. I'm not here to debate that, because I can't adequately assess that, because I don't personally know them. But I do know this, that there is a relentless attack against the minds of believers in this hour. Now, I want to skip over some of this, because I don't feel like the Holy Spirit is leading me in that direction. So I'm skipping over about 10 minutes of my notes, because I feel a shift right now to stay on this thread of what I'm talking about. Let me give you another scripture. 1 Peter 1:13-16. 1 Peter 1:13-16. Let's talk about girding up your loins. What is he talking about? Girding up your loins. Listen to this in 1 Peter. Peter emphasizes what Jesus talked about in Luke 12. He says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. Gird up the loins of your mind. Now, what does this mean? The phrase gird up one's loins means to prepare oneself for action, as in, quote, I'm girding up my loins for what's about to take place. Listen to this. It alludes to tucking up the traditional long robe into a girdle, or it rolls it up into a belt and it's tucked away so that it does not hamper or doesn't alter physical activity. So I want to give you this visualization of the long robe. Most of you has probably been watching the Chosen series, and you see them walking around, especially the character who plays Jesus, and you see this long robe that he wears. And many of these were so long that when you're walking, you could trip over it. You could probably get away with walking, but if you were to pick up pace and you begin to run, then you could trip over your garment. It could hinder your walk. It could cause you to stumble. So when we talk about girding up, it means to literally pick up your garment, lift it up, tuck it away, fold it in such a manner that it does not hinder your walk. It doesn't hinder your race. Now what? But Peter says, gird up the loins of your mind. And then right after this, I really should have put this scripture up on the screen, but I trust that many of you will have your Bible open and you can go and see what I'm telling you here. 1 Peter 1:13-16. Listen to this. Therefore, gird up the loins of your mind. And the very next phrase, he says, and be sober. Be sober. Do you know how many Christians? Okay, before I get into that, when he says gird up your mind, He's telling us here that you cannot, as a believer, just let your mind just roam wherever it wants to roam. Come on. You can't let your mind just think on whatever it wants to think. You can't let your mind just meditate on whatever it wants to meditate on. Because if you do that, you're going to get yourself in a lot of trouble. Did you know that when you and I got born again and we got saved and our name was in the Lamb's Book of Life, when we became a new creation and the old has passed away and all things become new, your spirit man was renewed, but you still have the same old mind. The Bible says that the carnal mind is enmity against God. The word enmity there means it's hostile towards God. Your mind is hostile against the principles of the kingdom of God. When a man of God gets up, or the word of God begins to expound on certain principles of the kingdom, your mind doesn't want to receive it. Your mind, when somebody starts talking about tithing, your mind doesn't want to receive that. Your carnal mind doesn't want to obey that. When the Bible says, be therefore holy as I am holy, your carnal mind doesn't want to obey that. It doesn't want to receive that, because your mind wants to do what it naturally does, and that is to sin. Why do you think in Romans chapter 12, Paul wrote, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. You present your bodies. You have to do something on your part. If you think that you're just going to wake up in the morning and your mind is going to be like, hallelujah, praise Jesus. I can't wait to serve God. I can't wait to get in the Word of God. I can't wait to get into prayer. I can't wait to get into the house of God. And I can't wait to make sacrifices and discipline myself. That is an absolute joke. Paul says, you've got to present your bodies as a living sacrifice. So you've got to make an effort on your part. Listen to this. Holy, acceptable to God, which is your reasonable service. And then in verse 2, he says, and do not be conformed to this world. You know why a lot of Christians are losing the victory in their mind right now? And the reason, and I hear them all the time, I don't have any joy. I don't know, where did my joy go? I don't have any oomph. I don't have fire. I don't have desire. I don't have passion. I don't feel like reading the Bible. I don't feel like going to church. I don't feel like getting into his presence. Listen, if you were to stop and do a self-examination, it could be possible that you have opened up your mind and allowed your mind to be filled with everything but God and his word. You fill it up with Dr. Phil. You fill it up with mainstream news media. You fill it up with TikTok. You fill it up with entertainment. You fill it up with vulgar music. You fill it up with all kinds of junk. And then wonder why you can't get victory in your mind, in your thinking. And Peter says, you got to present yourself. When you get out of bed, you ain't going to feel like praying. Can I just preach on me for a second? I am not a morning person. My wife's a morning person. She goes to bed early. And she gets up early. I'm talking about 5:30 in the morning. I can't do that. I am just not wired that way. My, what is that called? Your rhythm. My internal rhythm is not wired that way. For years and years and years, my whole life, I have been, that's probably why I'm more of an evangelistic spirit about me, because I love night services. Many times I have to preach in the morning, but I love preaching in the evening better than I do in the morning. I don't know why. I'm just more alert. I'm just not a morning person. So listen, when I get up in the morning to pray, trust me when I tell you, I am presenting a living sacrifice to God, because my flesh don't want to do it. My flesh wants to go back to bed. It doesn't want to pray. But here's what I've discovered. Even if your mind says, oh, just stay in bed a little bit longer, just skip it, don't do this, it's okay. When you say, shut your mouth, when you say, I don't care what my mind says, I don't care what my mind thinks, I am going to do it anyway. Here's what I've discovered. You may start out sluggish and your body may be bucking up against you. Sorry, I'm Southern. That's I know some of y'all don't even know what I'm talking about right there, but that's okay. When your body is revolting against your spirit, and you may start out and it's going to be a struggle when you start out, but you know what? When the anointing comes, you start getting into prayer and you turn on that praise and worship, and you may start out 5-10 minutes and you're just slurring words because you're so tired, but all of a sudden the anointing comes, the presence of God shows up, and you may start out one way, but come on, you end that prayer. Come on, full of faith and full of fire and full of the Holy Ghost. But I'm trying to tell you, Peter says that first of all, we cannot be conformed to the world. We can't fill our minds up with the counsel of the world, the advice of the world, the culture of this world, and the conformity of this world. But listen to what he says, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Your mind has to be transformed. And the Apostle Paul says, I beseech you, therefore, that I die daily. I'm sick and tired of preachers getting up and saying, and they come against preachers like me because they say it's a one-time event. No, listen, yes, you can get born again, but I'm going to tell you something. You can get born again 10 years ago, but if you don't get into that word and transform your mind day after day after day, and you don't get in prayer day after day after day, and you don't get in his presence, and you don't gather together with other believers, even more so as the day approaches, then what's going to happen is you'll discover that that individual who's going around touting that they got born again 10 years ago, 20 years ago, you can't find them in church. You can't find them in prayer meetings. You can't find them serving God anymore, and they're backslid and lost as a goose in a hailstorm. Why did it happen? Because they did not choose to gird up the loins of their mind, and as a result of it, their lamp began to dwindle out. The fire begins to dwindle out of the lamp. I haven't got onto the lamp yet. I'm still on girding your loins, the loins of your mind. But notice he says, be transformed by the renewing of your mind that you may prove what is the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Well, pastor, can you pray for me? Because I can't find out the will of God for my life. And I ask him, have you been praying? Are you in the Word of God? Have you transformed your mind? And almost every time when people ask this, they say, well, I can't find out the will of God for my life. I can't get direction. I can't hear nothing from God. I'll discover that they're not doing these things, A, and B, they are not sober-minded. Listen, we could talk about when he says, let me go back up here. First Peter, gird up the loins of your mind and be sober. You got a lot of Christians that they don't have any problem with filling themselves up with things that, come on, 20, 30 years ago, it would have been unheard of for anybody who called themselves a Christian to partake of. But now, nowadays, it's anything goes. Y'all, I'm a believer, but I live just like the world does. I partake of the things of the world. I do like the world does. I'm at the bar like the world. I'm in the club like the world. I'm rolling up doobies like the world. I'm smoking this, and I'm doing this, and I'm doing all that. But hallelujah, I'm saved, and I'm born again. Wrong. They are deceiving themselves. Listen to this. Watch this. He says, therefore, gird up the loins of your mind, be sober, and rest your hope fully upon the grace that is to be brought to you at the revelation of Jesus Christ. As obedient children, listen to this, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance. Listen, it's one thing to go back and live like you used to live before Christ pulled you out of it because you were ignorant to it. Listen, there's some people that get saved and they just don't know any better. They've not been raised in church. They've never been around church. They don't know the Word of God. They don't know any of this. And they get saved and they don't know that it's a sin to live together with their particular other in fornication. They don't know any better. So they're doing this because no one has preached this. And you know what's really sad and what's an indictment against the church today is when we have pastors and preachers that don't get up behind the pulpit and preach on sin and holiness and righteousness and setting yourself apart, then you've got a whole bunch of ignorant Christians and sheep in the congregation that are going around and continuing to live in sin because there's no standard being presented and being preached from the pulpit. Watch this. He says, as obedient children, not conforming yourselves to the former lust as in your ignorance, but as he who called you is holy, you also be holy in all your conduct. Yes, holiness is in the Bible. It's not legalism to preach on holiness because it is written, be holy for I am holy. Now, let me read on to this. Let me give you another aspect. Listen to this in Hebrews chapter 12. The writer of Hebrews says, therefore, we also, since we are surrounded about such a great cloud of witnesses, listen to this, let us lay aside every weight and the sin, not a sin, the sin which so easily ensnares us, and let us run with endurance the race that is set before us. Do you know what this is a picture of? This is a picture of what I just talked about earlier. Something that is hindering your walk and hindering your race. In the context of what we've been talking about today, I talked about your garment, the necessity of girding up your garment so that it is not hanging down and is a trip hazard. Oh, come on, somebody. Listen, we've got a lot of believers that the writer of Hebrews says that if we do not lay aside every weight, he says there's weights and there's the sin. So listen, every one of you, I don't care who you are, you can say that you don't have any weights and you don't have the sin. And according to the word of God, you are a liar. You've got weights that are hindering you. What are you talking about? Weights, weights, anxiety, fear, oppression, worry. These things, you've got, how are you going to pay your bills? How's your marriage going to work? How are you going to keep your mortgage afloat? How are you going to keep the church open? What am I going to do if the doctor says this? What's going to happen when they do that examination? Or I got to get these tests done. What if this? What if that? So these are weights. Weights. Weights that hinder your mind. Listen, you try to serve God with fire and fervor with all these weights on your mind. I know. I've been there, brother. I've been there, sister. Listen, it's hard to serve God when fear is always slamming its fist on your door and trying to kick down the door of your mind because it wants to come into your living room. I'm talking about your physical body here. It wants to come into your living room and sit down on your couch and put its feet up and make a permanent place in your mind. I'm talking about fear. I'm talking about anxiety. I'm talking about worry. Weights. Lay aside these weights. And then he says, and the sin, not a sin, the sin. Listen, James says that every man, he said, let no man say that when he is tempted, that he is tempted of God. But he said, every man is tempted when he is drawn away by his own lust and enticed. Listen, I don't care who you are. I don't care how long you've been serving God, 10 years, 2 years, 30 years, 40 years. I don't care if you're a pastor, a bishop, a deacon. I don't care what you are, your title. It don't matter to me. I'm telling you, there is a sin that you are always fighting. I'm not saying that you're giving into it. I'm not saying that you're succumbed to it. I'm not saying that it has victory over you, but I'm willing to tell you that there, you have battles with it. You struggle with it. You've wrestled with it. You've had seasons of victory and seasons of failure. I'm talking about the sin of this, the sin of lust. Is it the sin of fear? Is it the sin of this? Listen, I don't know what it is. I can't speak for you. But the writer says that we have to lay aside every weight and the sin that easily ensnares us. Why? Because we have a race to run. We have a race to finish. Listen, Jesus Christ is coming back. Yes, he's coming back. But my goodness, I don't want to be like Lot's wife, who was weighed down by something weighed her down. And we could sit here and argue all day and debate what it was that caused her to turn around and look back at the cities of the plains when destruction was coming, because they were instructed not to turn back, not to look back, but to go forward and run and go into the place of Zoar. So Lot, his wife, and his daughters, they ran and flee in obedience. But it says that Lot's wife turned and looked back, and she was turned into a pillar of salt. My friend, something hindered her from finishing her race. So while we could sit here and debate on whether there's a pre-trib, mid-trib, post-trib, when the Lord's coming back, or if it's going to be 10 years, 20 years, or 100 years, all that don't matter if we are hindered, and that we're not girded about, if we don't have our minds girded about, come on, and we are not sober, and we're not casting off these weights, and we're not getting victory over these things. And listen, now let me talk about the lamps burning. Because listen, we go back up here. Listen what he says. Let your waist be girded and your lamps be burning. Constant care for lamps in the time that the Bible was written was crucial and involved trimming the wick. Why? So that the flame would be clean and bright. A poorly trimmed wick created a flame which was dim and smoky. We got a lot of Christians today who was once burning lamps. Come on. But now in this hour, they're nothing but dim and smoky. I don't know about you, but I don't want to be dim and smoky. I want to be burning in excess. Come on, John the Baptist, it said that he was a burning lamp. It was also essential to keep your lamps full of oil. So what does this mean? It means keep your mind alert. Be tuned into the Holy Spirit. Be a sheep listening for its shepherd. Keeping your lamp full of oil means being prepared, being ready, being available, being obedient. Come on, y'all know this. Matthew 25, it talks about the kingdom of heaven and should be likened to 10 virgins who took their lamps and went out to meet the bridegroom. And there was 5 wise and 5 foolish. And those who were foolish took their lamps and took no oil with them. But the wise took oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while there was a delay, and that's what's happening right now, there's a delay of the Son of God, the Son of Man. He's delayed. And just like the Lord warned about in Matthew 25 of the parable of the 10 virgins, we're seeing this in full color demonstration happening right now, because most of the church is fast falling asleep, and a lot and over half of the church doesn't. They have lamps, but they don't have any oil in them. My goodness, are you paying attention? I'm going to close with this in Matthew 5, 14 and 16. You are the light of the world. A city that is set upon a hill that cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but they put it upon a lampstand so that it may give light to all who are in the house. So let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Listen to me, friends. It is very extremely difficult to let your light so shine among men that they may see our works and glorify the Father which is in heaven when we are weighed down. Are you listening to me? When we're weighed down, we're not sober-minded, and we're letting our mind be like a horse that's just running wild out of the stable. Listen, I'm telling you, I felt like the Holy Spirit was putting on my heart to call the people of God to be consecrated in your minds. We've got to be transformed in our minds. Well, brother, listen what they're saying on the news. Turn the stupid television off. Well, brother, they're saying the economy, turn it off. Come on. I was young and now I'm old, and I have yet to see the righteous forsaken, nor his seed beg of bread. Listen, whose kingdom are you a citizen of? If you're a citizen of the kingdom of heaven, I'll remind you that the owner of that kingdom owns the cattle on a thousand hills, the silver and gold is his, and the earth and the fullness thereof. He said the young lions lack hunger, but those who seek the Lord shall not lack any good thing. Come on, somebody. But brother, what if they come, and I got to be real careful what I say here, but what if they come knocking on the doors? Listen, that's a great opportunity to witness the gospel to them. Listen, you come knocking to my door and you want to take a census of my household, then you've just opened the door for me to preach the gospel to you. And who knows? They may come with an agenda, come on somebody, but leave transformed and a new creation in Christ Jesus. Your Bible says, don't fear in that hour what you shall say, because it will be the Holy Spirit speaking through you. I believe God is giving us, listen, I'm going to mess some people's theology up right here. This could be an opportunity. Listen, if he can't get us to go into the highways and byways, perhaps he's going to use what the enemy intended for evil and turn it around for good. If he can't get us to go out there, maybe he's going to get some people in high places to come knocking at our door. And while they may have an agenda and they may have a mandate from the highest place of office, we are ambassadors of Christ Jesus. And while they come with their agenda and their propaganda, we are going to open up our Bibles. We're going to open up our mouths and we're going to testify and we're going to let our light so shine among men that they may see our works and glorify the Father which is in heaven. But it's going to be impossible for us to do this if we are spending all our times, listen, spending all of our day and all of our time wrestling with our mind, trying to get fear out of control. Why do you think the Bible says in the book of Philippians, come on, as he says, think upon these things. Think upon these things. In other words, you've got to direct your mind to purposely dwell on, meditate, and think on things that are holy, things that are righteous, things that are of a good report. Listen, I know there's a dear sister that's watching this live stream right now. I know you're on here watching on Facebook. You know who you are, but you recently got diagnosed with cancer. And you've been going through treatments. And I know, listen, I don't have to ask you. I know the enemy is throwing fiery darts at you day after day after day, lying to you, saying that you're saying things like you're not going to make it. You're going to die of a young age. You're not going to finish your race. But listen, I'm here to tell you that if you'll keep that shield of faith up, the Bible says in the book of Ephesians chapter 6, take up the shield of faith in which we quench the fiery darts of the wicked one. You got to quench those darts. You're going to die. Quench it. You're going to go out in early age. Quench it. You're not going to make it. Quench that fiery dart with that shield of faith. Boom, knock it out. Another lie. Boom, knock out that dart. Where's it coming? Your mind. It's hitting in your mind. And then he says, you open up your mouth and you speak the word of God over that situation. You declare what God's word says over it. That's how you counter it. That's how you renew your mind. And Paul told the church of Philippi, he says, if there be anything of praiseworthy, dwell on these things. Think on these things. That thought that's coming in your mind, is it of God? Is it of a good report? Is it the word of God? If you answer no to that, then you don't entertain that thought. You come on, the Bible says, casting down every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. I'm going to say it again. Casting down every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, bringing into captivity. You got to bring it into captivity. Come on, I'm trying to help somebody today. I'm trying to help somebody today. Today, it's come on. Today's going to be the last day that you let your mind free roam and do what it wants. Today's the last day you're going to live in that captivity of fear and worry and doubt and unbelief and lack and poverty and all this junk that the enemy has filled your mind with. Today's the day you're going to take up your shield of faith. You're going to gird up the loins of your mind. You're going to get that oil back in your lamp. You're going to get your wick trimmed, and you're going to get back in this race, because your family needs you. Your children need you. Your co-workers need you. Come on. And the kingdom of God needs you for such a time as this. If you receive this today, I want you to give the Lord a hand clap, give him a praise, give him a thank you, Jesus. I just want you to receive this today. And while I feel the anointing, I want to pray over some folks. Father, right now, in the name of Jesus, I know this is going across airwaves, whether it be Facebook, whether it be YouTube, or whether it be podcasts or all the above. God, if anyone today is dealing with this in their minds, if they're dealing with these strongholds, these thought processes, these fears, these anxieties, these cycles, they're dealing with that sin that's affecting their mind and all these lies of the enemy. Father, today you said in your word, let this mind be in you that it was also in Christ Jesus. Today we choose to dwell on the good report. We choose to dwell on the word of God today. We choose to let our mind be transformed by the renewing of our mind through Christ Jesus today. Lord, you said in your word in the book of Isaiah, I will keep that man in perfect peace whose mind is stayed upon thee. I choose today to not allow my mind to be filled with this world that is passing away. I choose today not to allow my mind to be filled with filth. Let it to be filled with doubt. Let it be filled with fear. Let it to be filled with anxiety and worry and unbelief. I choose to reject that, but I choose to open my mind up to what all God has for me today, and choose to accept that, to embrace that, and to come into agreement with that and your word, Lord. And it is then that you said that you will show us the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. Listen, I'm just speaking prophetically here. There's some people that you've allowed this in seasons past to you've allowed your mind. The Bible says, as a man thinketh, so is he. Let me give you a translation of that. Wherever your mind wanders, that's where it's going to take you. Let me say that again. Where your mind leads is where it's going to lead you. So if your mind is always dwelling in fear, you're going to walk a life out of fear. If it's always in unbelief, you're always going to be living in unbelief. As a man thinketh, so is he. I'm telling you, and there's some of you that are watching this broadcast there, or listening to this broadcast today, and you know who you are. You were walking the course, walking this good fight of faith. You come on, you had your shield up. You had the sword of the Spirit going. You were living a life of victory. You were seeing God's blessings upon you. You were hearing clearly. But somehow, some way down the road in this walk, you've allowed your mind to be filled with all kinds of this junk. But come on, today is a new day. The Bible says his mercies are fresh each and every morning. Come on, just lay your hand right here on your head. I know it's stupid. I've never cared about what people think about me. I'm led by the Spirit. Put your hand on your mind, on your head right now. And I want you to agree with me today. Say, this mind is being washed by the washing of the Word of God today. Today, I choose to be transformed by the renewing of the Word of God. Today, I renounce unbelief. I renounce fear. I renounce worry. I renounce anxiety. I renounce poverty. I renounce all these lies of the enemy. And today, I choose to be renewed in my mind. I choose to put on Christ Jesus. I choose to walk in his word today, and I choose, according to the book of Philippians, to think upon those things which are holy, acceptable, a good report. And I choose to cast down. Now, listen, guys, let me close with this. Again, the Word of God says, casting down every imagination. We have to do a part, guys. In other words, when that imagination comes, we have to cast it down and bring it into captivity. In other words, it's what the picture is, it's like a bird coming into your home and you capture it into a cage. You take it captive. You take that thing captive and don't let it take up residence in your mind anymore. Come on, in Jesus' name. Do you receive this today? I believe a lot of people got blessed today on this particular message on this broadcast today. I want to give you some information here on how to follow our website, endtimeheadlines.org. Endtimeheadlines.com. That's going to be our main website. It's going to come up on the screen. We want to encourage you to, if you've not yet subscribed to it, please go and do that or bookmark it at least. And if you've not downloaded our free app, again, it is available on both Apple and Android devices. It is absolutely free. No charge to you. Just type in Endtime Headlines, get it into your hands. Push yes to push notifications, keep up with all of our news and headlines from a prophetic perspective. And also down there at the bottom of the app, you're going to see where it says listen and watch. That's where you're going to keep up with all these messages like this, all of our updates, all of our breaking news messages, and everything is going to be right there at your fingertips. And as always, guys, we want to give you the opportunity. If this ministry is a continual stream of blessing to you on a weekly basis, and you believe in what we're doing, and you support what we're doing, and we want to give you the opportunity to partner with us. And you could do that you could become a monthly partner, and you could do that either two ways. You can give electronically by through the app or through the main website, or you can give by check or money order. And you can do that by making it out at Endtime Headlines, P.O. Box 1391, Monroe, Georgia, 30655. As always, guys, we love you guys. We appreciate you taking the time out to listen to what this old Kentucky boy has to say. Now I'm in the great state of Georgia, but I was born and raised in Kentucky. That's why I always talk about I'm a Kentucky boy by heart, because I was born in Louisville, Kentucky. But again, thank you for taking the time out today. We're going to sign off for today. We're going to take off this weekend, but we'll be back on next week. We're just going to pray about what the Lord would have us to share this next week. That's why a lot of times, very few times you'll see me announce what we're going to talk about, because we try to be spirit led, and I don't want to put myself into a box and the Lord leads me in a different direction. I just want to kind of go with what I feel like he's leading us to talk about and discuss on each one of these podcasts. So until then, guys, God bless you. May the Lord keep you. May his countenance be upon you. God bless. We'll see you next week.
Thank you for listening to the End Time Headlines podcast. We pray that you've been blessed and equipped by today's message. For more information about how you can help partner with our ministry, please visit endtimeheadlines.org.